Andy Finn. You know, even if someone handed me $1 million this morning, I'd still be doing my radio show on WEBR. Why? Because I have commitment. I have dedication. Plus, I signed a contract. Now, if you'll do the same, I'll have one more dedicated listener. Don't worry, you can void your contract if I ever get obsessed with liberals or gays, the flag, the pledge, embryonic stem cells, the UN, illegal immigrants, missing white women, or the country of France. So tune in the Andy Finn Show on WEBR, Mondays from 11 to midnight. Hey, if you had $1 million, you could buy a radio station.
Well, you might think that, you know, but it turns out that you wouldn't get much of a radio station for $1 million these days. But it's a nice sentiment. Anyway, we are back on the Andy Finn Show. Today is Monday, the 27th of January in the year 2008. The president is probably wrapping up his State of the Union address right now, and you wisely have chosen to listen to me. Today in history, a couple of things happened. The Beatles gave their first live concert. We're going back to the late 50s. I think it was 58. On this date, at a club in England, and The Who gave their first performance on television. That would have been 64, I believe. Two of the greatest bands in the history of rock. So I just thought that was interesting. They were both on the same day. I want to move on now to a serious topic. And let me lead into it this way. This is about the renewal of the FISA law. And I want to explain this in detail to you in case you're not keeping up with us. This is an interesting debate. It's also an important debate. And before I get to it, I want to mention two other events that are taking place. That are taking place this week, or that the news came out this week. The first was in the Washington Post over the weekend. Bush order expands network monitoring. So basically, he's issued a directive saying that intelligence agencies, particularly the National Security Agency, should monitor computer networks of the federal agencies, including ones they don't currently monitor, and keep it safe from cyber attacks. Now, that's a perfectly valid sentiment, okay? Information warfare is going to become bigger. We're probably doing a tremendous amount of research on it. We're probably the best in the world at it. But we're also the most vulnerable because we have the most computers and the most things run by computers. You know, all the battlefield stuff that we run now, we'd be helpless without satellites. If somebody could knock out our satellites, they would really harm us on the battlefield. We'd still get a lot done, but this stuff's important. And certainly, one of the first things we did when we went after Saddam the second time was to knock out communications. And instead of bombing the waterworks and the electricity plants, we knocked out the communications that run them so that they could be more easily repaired. We didn't do that in 1990. We bombed the bridges and really harmed the infrastructure and hurt the people. So information warfare is important. My problem is this directive, of which the content is classified, is more in the way of government monitoring. And I don't trust George W. Bush and Dick Cheney because they've proven to be untrustworthy. So I see this article and I say, well, I wonder what they're up to. I never used to feel that way about the government. And I'm not, post-Watergate, I'm as cynical as the next guy. I was suspicious of what the government did. But in general, I trust our government. I don't trust this administration. And that's the sad truth of it. I'll give you another example. Last week in the newspaper, there was an article that came out that said that the White House does not have a comprehensive archiving of emails. So this whole thing about emails there have been days and days of email that have disappeared from different people in the White House. They don't have records of this and that. Now, all this is supposed to be archived regularly. And, of course, a lot of the people in the Bush administration were routing their email through the Republican National Committee and avoiding the White House archive. But it turns out that the Clinton administration had been forced by courts to put a system in place that recorded all the emails because they were accused of the same stuff. You're not getting all the emails, you're probably hiding something. By 98, they had a system in place that recorded all the emails and archived them. When the Bush administration came along, they scrapped that system in the White House and in the executive branch. They didn't give a reason for it, they just scrapped it. Now, where are the critics who were all over Clinton for not archiving the email? Then Clinton puts a court orders him, and he puts a system in place that records them all and keeps them all. Bush administration gets rid of them. I don't hear a peep out of the other side about that. So with that as background, and the suspicion that the country has about the overreaching that this administration has done, we are in the middle of a major fight, okay? And it revolves around the revision of the FISA law. So FISA is the Federal Intelligence... I don't even remember what it stands for all of a sudden. But basically, the FISA courts were set up after Watergate and after the Church Commission. I think it was after the Church Commission that said, look, if you're going to have wiretapping, you can't just have the president call the FBI or the CIA and say, get it done. You have to get a court order. This is the basic principle of checks and balances. You have someone from the judicial branch monitor the executive branch. You don't let the executive branch monitor itself. That's a basic principle here. So the FISA court was set up, a special court with judges assigned to it. Regular judges moved over to the FISA court, and they heard these cases. They grant 99.999% of the requests for wiretapping. 9/11 happens, and the Bush administration skirted around it. They decided not to go through FISA to do some of the stuff they were doing. They could have gone to Congress and got permission. They decided to go around it. And over the last 4 years, we've discovered just exactly what they did. Well, not exactly. We've discovered some of what they did. The culmination of which was the reports in the New York Times in fall of 2005 that said that the NSA had set up a warrantless surveillance program outside of the FISA courts to eavesdrop on terrorists, but there were no limits in a way to what they could do. In fact, it's since come out, and you can see a great documentary on Frontline's website about this, it's since come out that they have plugged into some of the major telecom companies' computers, like AT&T out in San Francisco, and they've grabbed all the internet traffic coming through there, email messages, all of that, and siphoned it off. Now, we don't know exactly what they've done because they won't say, but this is not going after specific terrorists who you have reason to believe are terrorists and they're calling into the United States. It's much more than that. It's millions and millions of messages that belong to people who are just talking to each other. So it's a fishing expedition. So that is clear. Now, what's interesting is the reaction on both sides about this. I can't tell you how many 20 percenters on the right, conservatives, hardcore Republicans, who are just irate at the New York Times for disclosing that the Bush administration was doing this. They're saying, we're in a war on terror. You can't be doing that. Excuse me. What we're actually doing, what we're actually in, is a crisis here. And the idea that it's wrong for the New York Times to blow the whistle on this illegal activity is absurd. And obviously, conservatives and Republicans don't see it that way. They figure the president should be trusted to defend the country. Well, let me ask you this. If that were Hillary Clinton in the White House, would you still want to give her carte blanche and trust her NSA to do what they thought was right? I didn't think so. Anyway, so it's come out over the years what they've done. They could have gone through the FISA law, but when it was discovered that they weren't, they said, look, you have to understand, we're in a touchy situation here. The technology has changed. People are using one cell phone, then they discard it and get another one. They use a landline. They use email. We have to be able to move quickly, and FISA won't react that quickly. Well, that's simply not true, because you've always been allowed under FISA to set up the surveillance first and then come back within 5 days to get permission. So what could be so much of a rush that you couldn't make that work? Then they say, well, 5 days, you know, just have to go and do every one. We don't want to have to do that. Okay, so you want the executive branch to decide on its own what is permissible in terms of espionage or oversight, right, within the U.S. Now, I'm going to leave out for the moment all the esoteric stuff about whether it's terrorist to terrorist, or it's terrorist to someone in America, or it's, you know, foreign to foreign and just passing through U.S. But those are some of the issues that have been mucking this thing up. But the bottom line of this is that the Bush administration says you have to trust us in these situations. We are in peril and we are fighting terrorism. Don't handcuff us. So the Bush administration wants the FISA law changed. This is going back to last year, well, last couple of years. And in the fall of 2007, right before they went away on their August recess, Congress was looking to finalize a replacement, an update of the FISA law, named in a rather Machiavellian way the Protect America Act. That's what it was. And it was going ahead and it was going to allow that. What the administration did uncover a potential problem. Much of the internet traffic in the world and the phone calls in the world get routed through U.S. telecommunications companies because we have so much bandwidth in the network, in the backbone network. So even if somebody's making a call from, let's say, Pakistan to, Argentina, it could be routed through the United States. In fact, a huge percentage of traffic is routed through the United States, even though it doesn't start there and doesn't end there. That's just the way it works because we have so many lines going to every continent. So the problem is that that's telecom passing through the U.S. Well, that was a problem under the old FISA. But the law could have been updated, and it was planned to be updated to accommodate that and still allow the NSA to spy on foreigner-to-foreigner stuff that went through the U.S. But at the last minute, while Congress was getting ready to go away on their recess, the Bush administration and Republicans managed to stick in this bill some provisions that allow them to go around the FISA court without getting a warrant and without explaining what they're doing. Basically, more warrantless surveillance. Now, that's what they were doing back in 2002, 2003, that many legal scholars and privacy advocates argue was patently illegal behavior. Right, for which they have never accounted. They say, we can't talk about that. Sorry, I know we'd love to talk about it, but we can't. Well, we come up with this new law, and they stuck these things in. But to its credit, Congress said, well, we don't fully understand what we're doing here. We need more discussion. We will give you this law that you want, but we're going to limit it to 6 months. Oh, I should also point out, the Bush administration made some claims right before the bill had to be hammered out that they were being handicapped and there was some terrorist activity and they were unable to stay on top of it. And they basically cried wolf that we can't protect the country if you don't give us what we need. That's what they went public with. And so Congress buckled and gave them everything. But they said only for 6 months we'll look at this more deeply. Well, you go away for the Christmas recess. Not much got done. Chris Dodd and a couple of other Democrats are intent on filibustering this. That is, they're saying, we are not going to allow the bill to go forward as the White House wants it. Now, let me tell you what the White House wants. They want not only everything they had in the old bill, which many Democrats and some Republicans are intent on not giving them, that is, this ability to go around the FISA court when they want to, essentially, when they deem it necessary. That's way too much power. But also, they want immunity for the telecommunications companies that helped them in 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, that helped them go around the FISA laws. Basically, they went to AT&T and Verizon and the other companies and said, we're doing national security, as you know, and post 9/11, we got to listen to this traffic. And the telecom companies probably said something like, isn't this against the law without a warrant? They said, don't worry your pretty little heads about that. We'll take responsibility. But you need to help your country. Whose side are you on? Because if you're not with us, you're with the terrorists. So AT&T and other companies, everybody except Quest, apparently. Good old Joe Nacho. He may be a crook, but he's a upstanding citizen when it comes to protecting our rights. But everybody except Quest buckled and allowed them to do this massive surveillance of messages. We don't know for sure they did massive surveillance at every company. We know they did at AT&T. That's pretty well documented because there have been whistleblowers on that one. So the telecom companies are now facing lawsuits because they broke the law. Now, we believe the Bush administration broke the law, too. But after the impeachment of Bill Clinton, there's no stomach in the country or among the Democrats in Congress to impeach Bush and Cheney. Plus, if you just impeach Bush, you get Cheney as president. So they basically said, look, we want to get to the bottom of this FISA thing. And the Bush administration says, we can't tell you about it. Can't tell you what we did. It's top secret. It's important that we keep it secret. It's national security. It's terrorism. Whose side are you on? If you're not with us, you're with the terrorists. Okay. Going back to the basic principle here of oversight, keep in mind that all I'm asking for is checks and balances as we have in the Constitution. The executive branch cannot be trusted to be its own check and balance. That's what you have the other two branches of government for. So FISA was set up so that the judicial branch, the courts, had a check on the executive, on the president and his organizations. And Congress checks the others and in different areas. So that's how we operate. But the Bush administration has been insisting since this whole thing broke, you know, when Alberto Gonzalez was back in the White House and signed off on all this crap, then he became attorney general. He said, oh, we've got oversight. Don't worry about it. We've got oversight. Yeah, they're having the attorney general who works for the president oversee the National Security Agency who works for the president. And they said, we've got regular oversight. We're looking at this every month or two. Yes, but they all report to the president. You've got to have an independent set of eyes from another branch of government. That's what checks and balances are about. And that's not asking too much. And for George W. Bush and Cheney was out this week at the Heritage Foundation saying how crucial this is. And if we're going to fight terrorism, we got to have it. For them to claim that America won't be safe if they don't get their way is just the worst kind of demagoguery. I'm so sick of these guys. There's a great quote from John Adams, and I'm not sure I even have it with me here. I'm afraid I can't call it up, unfortunately. But he basically, in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, basically said that the kinds of situations where you'll get tyranny is when people claim that there's an outside threat, and it will be in the name of an outside threat that they compromise our liberties. And that's exactly what goes on here. Now, because of the politics of it, Republicans, even libertarians, aren't up in arms about this. Where's Ron Paul on this? You don't hear from him on this, although he's outspoken about every other issue in his campaign. And he's a maverick among Republicans. But in general, the libertarian wing of the Republican Party is silent on this. And I suppose if it was the Democratic president, maybe the Democrats would be more silent. But they never were. You know, when Kennedy was president, or Johnson, or even Clinton, the Democrats opposed them on some things. The Republicans haven't opposed Bush on anything. Now that the Democrats are in power, they're finding some spine, and in some cases, a few of them are joining with the Democrats. But This is a big issue. And so here's what's at stake. Right now, Bush is threatening, and he's saying, if you don't give me the immunity for the telecom companies I want, I will veto this bill. Then the Democrats said, we can't get this all done by February 1st, so we want to do a one-month extension. Will you sign that? He says, no. Got to have the complete bill. It's important we have it now. Got to extend it. Well, they want it permanent, but I think they know they would only get 1 year, 2 years, something like that. But they want it permanent, but they certainly don't want a one-month extension. They say, well, you've had enough time to get this done. It isn't done. Get it done by February 1st, or I'll veto the one-month extension. Now, I think that's a bluff, because right now it's looking like we'll get an extension. At the time Bush threatened this a week or two ago, it was looking like they had the votes among Republicans and the Democrats that sided with the Republicans on telecom immunity. People like Jay Rockefeller, for some reason, are on the side of the telcos on this. They thought they had the votes to force the Congress to do what the president wanted. And so he was talking tough. Today, apparently, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has acknowledged that they're going to have to settle for a one-month extension. He acknowledged that he would accept that, because they're just not going to get this done by February 1st. Because even if the Senate could decide it, they still have to settle this in the House, with the House. The House of Representatives passed a bill more than a month ago that is not what the president wants. It basically isn't as sloppy as the Patriot, or what was that called? The Freedom, I forgot, the Protection Act, Freedom Protection Act, or whatever it is, from last August. It's got oversight from the FISA court. It doesn't let Bush and Cheney go around it when they want to. It tightens that loophole that was in the many loopholes that were in there. And it doesn't have immunity for the telcos. So even if the Senate passes the bill Bush wants, they've still got to negotiate between the two chambers in conference. Well, that doesn't happen in 3 days. That can take weeks. And the Democrats in the House and the Republicans that side with them may not give in on that. So a one-month extension makes sense. But the bigger issue is, where are we going here long term? I want every Republican to think about this. A year from now, you're very likely to have a Democrat in the White House. And it might be Barack Obama, but it might be your worst nightmare. It might be Hillary. And if Hillary Clinton is president, do you want her to have the ability to approve wiretaps without going through the courts? Within the executive branch, just her and her people checking on each other and saying, this is okay. We can do this, because they can get away with it. So think about that. And really, it comes down to the entire gamut of things the Bush administration has done. You know, they use 9/11 as an excuse to grab power. When the country's at a vulnerable time, like after an attack like that, we are willing to give the president a great deal of power. Now, Dick Cheney, George Bush came to office not having much sense of any of this, but Dick Cheney came to office believing that the presidency had been weakened tremendously. He was in the Ford administration right after Watergate, and after the abuses of the Nixon administration, an enemies list, using the FBI, using the IRS to go after your enemies, burglarizing your enemies, all those things that they did, the country said, wait a minute, this is getting out of control. Let's curb the power of the president. These things go in ebbs and flows. Well, Cheney came in. He was in the Ford administration, the next administration, and felt like that they'd lost a lot of power. The White House had lost a lot of power. So, okay, that's his view. Well, most legal scholars, presidential scholars, constitutional scholars, believe that the balance was pretty much restored by the 90s. Right? Cheney didn't. He didn't see the improvements. Of course, he wasn't in any of those administrations until George W. Bush's administration. So he came to office wanting to increase the power of the presidency. And George W. Bush came to office, who knows what he was thinking. But 9/11 happens, and they've got their rationale. So I don't think it's exaggerating to say that this is actually a pretty dangerous time. We're now going to put a law in place about surveillance that could last quite a while. And it's a precedent. Usually we don't take away these powers once we give them for things like surveillance. So we need to be careful and think this through. And if you're a partisan on either the right or the left, consider the fact that just like liberals don't want George W. Bush to have this power because they don't trust him, conservatives don't want Hillary Clinton to have this power. At least they shouldn't. I don't want any president to have it. I want there to be checks and balances. And I don't think that's asking too much. So if you get a chance, write one of your senators. You can go on the website of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org, I think it is, to find a discussion of all this, some detailed information about it. But this isn't getting to very much play these days, but this is not about being weak on terrorism. This is about protecting our rights as citizens. And the Andy Finn Show will be right back after this.